You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
If in government, the ACT Party would stop contracted workers from being able to challenge their employment status. This comes after Uber drivers were deemed employees of the International Ride-Sharing Service in a landmark employment court decision. I spoke to ETU union spokesperson Annie Newman about ACT's policy. Here is that interview. So as a trade union, why does this policy concern you?
Yes, well, look, it's about contractors, as opposed to workers who are just contracted and therefore employees. In other words, it's about workers who are deemed to be their own employer or their own business. And so this is a tool that is used from time to time for businesses to distance themselves from the obligations associated with being an employer. And that can lead to a great deal of exploitation because those workers are expected to pay their own ACC. They don't get any sick leave. They don't get any holiday pay. They don't get any of the things that a normal employee would get. And often they're fully controlled by the business. So in the end, they're basically an employee, but they're being treated as though they're a business in their own right.
In what situations would a worker be considered a contractor versus an employee?
Well, some people are very happy to be the contractors. They might run a design business. They might run a construction company. They might hire out their labour for digital services. So there are genuine contractor situations where people want to be independent. They are independent. They have complete control over their destiny. It's not those ones we're worried about. It's the ones that are like Uber drivers who've recently won a decision that they're actually employees. We had Alice G. Skyship. They provide catering for airlines. They were workers that were deemed to be contractors. A case was taken. It proved that they were not contractors. They were employees. And so those are the kinds of situations where we know that it's a disguise for an employee without any of the benefits associated with that relationship.
An argument that I've seen is that outside of the Uber case, there are no examples of exploitative employment relationships of this nature, but you just listed quite a few. So how common is this happening in Aotearoa?
It's not uncommon, and quite often we're not alerted to those situations because workers who are deemed to be contractors often are at a distance from a union. But workers, for instance, who deal with communications, these are chorus workers. There are all sorts of workers who might be in situations where they are, to all intents and purposes, under the control of the employer, but are really employees. So there are a lot of them. Now, some of them will be independent contractors. So, you know, you can't say for sure that every worker that you say is an employee or the contractor is in fact that. That's why we need to retain the right to be able to seek recourse to justice, or those workers need to retain that right to have recourse to justice in the event that they don't have the freedoms of a contractor. And this position of the ACT Party is that they would no longer have that access. As long as they signed up to something and said that they were a contractor, that would be it. They are a contractor. Now, we know that that's not how it works in the employment relations environment.
ACT has said that a contractor who believes that the terms and conditions of their contract are unfair has recourse under the Fair Trading Act and the Employment Relations Act. Do you believe that this is enough protection for workers?
No, because people move into these environments without any awareness of the rules and regulations around their employment status. So you can have large numbers of workers, such as a whole catering service, where in fact are being exploited, and those workers need to be able to have their employment status defined. And so we're going through a process at the moment where there is a law to define it. It's been put on hold because of the Uber case. So there's going to be a period of time before it goes to the Court of Appeal and we find out the final reason, and we'll find out what the final decision is. But we believe, and those workers believe, that they were employees, and they should be able to attest that. Because employment law in the end is about providing safety for workers who have less power than the businesses that that employ them. So how do you create more of a balance in the employment relationship? And part of that has to be access to justice. So we believe that there's an assumption that as long as people sign up to something, they say that that's all right, I'm an employer, I'm a contractor, I'll deal with that, then that's what they are. But of course people need work, and they'll often sign the piece of paper that's put in front of them because they need the work.
ACT has said that this would give employees as well as businesses greater certainty. How accurate is this statement?
Well, it's completely inaccurate. So the only thing that gives people certainty is when there are boundaries and rules in place. And what ACT and National propose is reducing the barriers, reducing the boundaries, reducing the rules, and that puts workers at the mercy of businesses. And there are many good businesses out there, so I'm not suggesting that all businesses are bad, but rules are there to protect people against the poor actions or the poor decision-making by those who have more power. And so the decisions that ACT and National are likely to make if they get into power are going to create a great deal of suffering and a huge imbalance in employment relations. That's not going to be good for anybody, because actually a low-wage economy is bad for everybody. We know that the inequality that exists within a country generates a whole lot of poor outcomes in terms of health, education, safety of our communities, all of those things. So if we want to have a better country, a safer country, a fair country, and one where human rights prevails across all spheres, including employment, then we have to have rules in place. And we cannot back parties that want to see those things dismantled.
Both ACT and the National Party are opposing fair pay agreements and also proposing bringing back 90-day trials. What would this mean for workers?
Well, it just shows that those political parties that sit on the right of the spectrum have no interest in the human rights aspects of employment. The fact is that workers are subject to a whole lot of control by their employers, and that often means that they live in poverty, they work long hours, they don't receive the breaks that they need. All of these things have to be regulated, because the market will never deliver justice for workers. So if we want a balance in employment relations where employers and workers have a fair go, that relationship must be regulated. That's a position that both National and ACT oppose, and we need to fight very hard to make sure that families in New Zealand do not suffer under a regime where they are subject to anything that happens out on the market.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.